Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today is Palm Sunday, as you've already been told. And I want to read a scripture concerning that from John chapter 12, verses 12 to 15. John chapter 12, verses 12 to 15. The next day, the crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." It was a day where God turned the spotlight on his son, and the people praised him. I have a question to ask you all this morning. Is there anybody here this morning that just felt that during the time of praise and worship, you felt you were praising God too much? Is there anybody, put your hand up if you feel, "I have just praised God just too much." Anybody? Is there anybody here that feels you could have praised him a bit more? Let's be honest, God's watching. Well, shame on you. It's Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday was about praising the Lord. They welcomed him with the word Hosanna. The word Hosanna is a Hebrew word. There's several Hebrew words for praise, and this is one of them. The word Hosanna is a praise word, but it means savers. So they turned this word for savers into a praise word, and they said Hosanna, which means savers. They were talking to God, savers. However, they were actually saying this to the one that was riding on the donkey, whose name was Jesus. Jesus means
savior.
Isn't it amazing? Jesus means savior. Jehovah saves. He's a savior. They were asking the savior to save them.
Yes.
Couldn't ask a better person. He's got a name. Come on. He's got a name. They were so glad to see him. So I've already said shame on you because you didn't praise the Lord enough this morning. However, you're going to get an opportunity now. We can't pass it, can we? God's looking down. It's Palm Sunday. He's our Savior. We're not looking for him to save us. We're praising him because he has saved us. Come on. So after two, you're going to start shouting praises to God as loud as you can. And you won't frighten the person next to you. You won't. And you won't frighten God. I'll tell you that now. If you praise God loudly, I just got a strong suspicion God will be very pleased. Amen. So after two, come on. One, two. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to Jesus in the highest. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb. We bless you and praise you. We magnify your name, oh God. You are worthy to be praised. Great is the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I want to tell you, I feel like preaching now. That was good. And also, the children were crying out their praises. They were praising Jesus. So you try and imagine the scene if you can. He's coming from Bethany. And in Bethany, he'd raised a man from the dead. Raised him from the dead. This is a city that is very close to Jerusalem. So word would have flown through into the whole of Jerusalem, this Jesus has raised somebody from the dead. So when they heard he was actually coming to Jerusalem, the people came out to meet him by the droves. They even broke down palm branches and they strewed them before the donkey to try to make some sort of a carpet. They took off their coats and made a carpet for the donkey to walk on. And a donkey, of course, is a sign of peace, which is quite incredible when you think about it. Jesus didn't come riding on a white horse. He came as a sign of peace on a donkey. And the people came out and they praised him. And the children, it was like God turned the spotlight on Jesus. And they had a glimpse that he is a Savior. Savers, Savior, Savers. And the children cried out with them. However, some of the scribes and Pharisees didn't like it. They did not like the people praising Jesus. And they said, and especially when the children, they said to Jesus, tell them to be quiet. That's what they said. Tell them to be quiet. And Jesus said, let me tell you something. If they don't cry out and praise me, the stones will. Think about it. Jesus doesn't say anything stupid. He meant it. If they don't praise me, the stones will, because God's got his searchlight on me right now. This is a time of praising me, of realizing that I am the Savior. I'm coming to save you. Now, I want you to turn, we're going to see another scripture up there from John chapter 19 and verse 14. It was a day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. Here is your king, Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, take him away. Take him away. Crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar. The chief priests answered. The same person that they praised, Hosanna, now they're saying crucify him. 5 days later. 5 days later. I want to tell you something about human beings, and it includes you. We're fickle. That means we're changeable. What is good today could be bad tomorrow. What we want today, we don't want tomorrow. We are such fickle people. What is the best footy team in the world today is not tomorrow. What's the best entertainer in the world today is not tomorrow. We change all the time. We are fickle. Within 5 days, they changed from saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Save us! 5 days later, crucify him! Crucify him! We won't have this man to reign over us. What had happened in 5 days? What had changed their minds? What had caused such hatred and anger and such despair in these people to want this man Jesus to be crucified? 5 days before, they was expecting something really good. They'd heard about Jesus for 3 years. In fact, he'd visited Jerusalem early in his days. They'd heard about the miracles that he did. They didn't have, of course, what we have today with social networking. But I want to tell you, they had a rumor mill. They gossiped, and word got through to people in Jerusalem that there was a man, a great prophet, and some were saying the Messiah, and he's doing all these miracles. He's healing the sick. He's causing blind people to see, deaf people to hear, dumb people to speak, people who cannot walk to walk. He's even raised the dead, and he's fed thousands of people on just a small bit of food, of loaves and fishes. He's even calmed the ocean and the waves. What a man he is. So the word had come through to Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem was the center of the Jewish life. It was a capital city. It was where the main religious people were that read the law and spoke the law. When they heard this, the people in Jerusalem wanted to see Jesus do the miracles. And then just a few days before he came, he'd raised a man from the dead who'd been dead for 4 days. He went to the tomb where the man was, and they said to Jesus, by now there'll be an odor, because he said, roll the stone away. They said, oh, Lord, by now there'll be an odor. He's been dead for 4 days. And he shouted out, Jesus did, after a very short prayer, Lazarus, come out. And he did. All dressed in his grave clothes, and they set him free. That word passed quickly in Jerusalem. This was just a few days before he gets there. So in the people's mind, what were they looking for? Miracles, healings, feeding, blessing. They came out to Jesus because a lot of them were thinking that Jesus was the Messiah who was going to bring in the kingdom of God now, so that the Romans will be defeated and the Jews will become the greatest nation on the earth. That was in their mind. That's what Messiah was to do, they thought. But he came in on a donkey. He didn't come in on a white horse. He came in a sign of peace. But they were so thrilled that he was there. Some of them had never seen him. Most of them had never seen him that came out of Jerusalem. They hadn't seen him, but they'd heard. And in their minds, they were looking for the miraculous. And the Bible tells us the first thing he did was to enter into the temple. The first thing, he came into Jerusalem. He didn't go to anybody's house in Jerusalem. He didn't go to see the rich and the famous. He didn't go and see the palaces. He went to the temple. And he went into the temple courts, huge big place. And the people in the temple courts were buying and selling. Now, people, there was nothing wrong with that in the sense that people would come and buy a sacrifice and make that sacrifice. That had been going on for many, many years. People, if they didn't have the sacrifice, particular animal to bring, they would bring their money and the animal would be sold to them. But it had gone beyond that. It was like a marketplace where people were buying and selling and people were ripping each other off. When Jesus saw this, and the eyes were upon him, remember, they were expecting the miraculous. When he saw it, he took a whip and he drove out the people from that. Now, there would have been several hundred in there. A lot of tables he turned over. The anger of God came on him. He came on a donkey, but now he had a whip. He came in peace, but now he was so angry, he said these words. This is my Father's temple, which should be a place of prayer. And that prayer includes worship. Hosanna. It should be a place of prayer, but you are making it into a den of thieves. And he drove them out. Hang on a minute. This was not the Jesus they were expecting. Where's the miracles? Where's the healings? Where's the blessings? Where's the feeding? What are you doing? What are you doing? You're changing everything. We've had this temple like this for years. We've been doing this. Who are you to come and tell us we can't? And suddenly, anger started to rise in the people because Jesus was doing something that people don't like, changing them. Now, let me just say this to you. I believe that Christianity is so different to all the different religions in the world. People have often said to me, oh, John, come on. All the religions are the same. They're all basically the same. And I say, no, they're not. If you study religions, and obviously you haven't because you're making such a stupid statement, religions aren't the same. They're all different. But all religions differ from Christianity in one thing. Incredible. Religion says, if you are good, you can come to God and God will bless you. If you're good, clean up your act, get rid of your sin, get rid of your crime, get rid of your greed, get rid of your selfishness, get rid of your lust, come to God and God will accept you and you will go to heaven. That's what all the religions, Hinduism teaches that. All the religions teach it. Islam teaches it. Be good and you can come to God. Well, I want you to know Christianity does not teach that. Christianity teaches come to God and he'll make you good. Come as you are. Don't think, well, I can't come to God because I did something. I can't go to church today because I've done something wrong. God's saying, come as you are. Come as you are. And I will change you. I will make you good. Now, the basis for a person becoming a Christian, the basis, and you'll hear more about this on Friday when we're talking about the crucifixion, the basis is that you have to believe that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Not, I'm a sinner, I better go and do something about it myself. No, you're a sinner, and no matter how much you try, you can't do anything about it. Because you've already sinned. There's not one of you. Some of you can't see because it's a bit dark at the back with the lights and the cameras. But some of you, all of you, have sinned. There's not one person here that can put their hand up and say, I've never done anything wrong. Because if you did, I'd say, sit down, you're a liar. I know men and women well enough to know you've all done something wrong. You've all sinned. So to come and get forgiveness, you need to first acknowledge I need help. I need it. And a doctor can't forgive me. Psychiatrists can't forgive me. Sociologists can't forgive me. Politicians certainly can't forgive me. Religion can't forgive me. A priest can't forgive me. The Pope can't forgive me. If I need forgiveness, I have to come to God through Jesus Christ, and He forgives me. And that is the start. He washes me in the blood of Jesus. That is the start. Now, this is where it gets bad. That was good. This is where it gets bad. See, Christianity teaches, come to God as you are, and He'll make you good. So God says, come to me as you are, but I don't want you to stay the same as who you are. That's the bad bit. That's the bit that hurts. Come to me as you are, but I don't want you to stay the same as you are. I want to change you. Now, most people don't want that. Most people want to change Jesus. See, they wanted Jesus in the temple, and the temple is symbolic, representative of the human body, of the Christian. There's an outer court, which is the body. The inner court, which is the soul, and then there's the holiest of all, which is a spirit. So there's body, soul, and spirit represented in that temple. They said, come in, you're welcome. He came in, and they didn't want him to change anything. They wanted the money changers still to be there. They wanted the buying and the selling and the bargaining, and they wanted the rip-off merchants to continue doing what they're doing. Don't change, come in, and while you're here, bring some miracles, bring some healings. But don't change anything. And I tell you, I have prayed for thousands of people over. I've been a Christian now for a long time, 67 years this year. I've been preaching for 65 years, preached in many, many countries. I've given many appeals. I've seen thousands of people come out for prayer. And as they've come out for prayer, they have had hearts that are happy and joyful. They're coming to Jesus. We're coming to Jesus. He's going to forgive us. He's going to bless us. He's going to heal us. He's going to give us all wonderful blessings. But they didn't want to change. And they ended up walking away. Many thousands I've known. Many, many thousands. Of people who came out with a heart wanting God save me, but not wanting Him to change me. I've just got to tell you something now. I want you to listen to this, and what I'm saying is not rude. I want you to listen to it. Everybody listen. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is the most stubborn man in the whole of history. He's totally unchangeable. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm sorry, but you can't change Him. I'm sorry, He's stubborn. You can't change Him. But he doesn't want you to be stubborn because you need changing. I'm going to tell you something about Jesus. He doesn't need changing. Come on. Why would you want to change him? You're the one that needs changing. You're the problem, not him. You are the problem. And so when they saw what he did, and then he went from the temple, they started to plot how they might kill him. Within 5 days, he stood before them, beaten and bruised and bloodied. He had a crown of thorns upon his head. They'd stripped him and beaten him all over. Pilate brought him out, and he says to the people, "Here's your king." You can imagine what he looked like. His face was unrecognizable. Blood everywhere, beaten and bruised and battered. I was talking to a person the other day, and I mentioned about the film that I saw, that most of you have seen, The Passion of the Christ. Who was his name that made that film? Mel Gibson film. By the way, I saw on Facebook the other day, he's doing another film. He's started now on the resurrection. They said to him, "You've been saying you're going to do one on the resurrection. When are you?" He says, "I've got two scripts right now." He says, "One is pretty good, but the other one is really in your face. I'm just wondering which one to take." So he's going to take the in your face one, because the resurrection is something wonderful. That's a story all in itself. And you'll hear about that on Sunday. Today you're hearing about Palm Sunday. On Friday you'll hear about his death. But on Sunday you'll hear about the resurrection. But can I say this? There could be no resurrection unless there was a death. Resurrection represents new life. Jesus had to die before he could get the new life. And so do you. You gotta die. And I'm not talking about physically and being like, you go, "Oh, we're all gonna die one time." We know that. But you need to die today. You need to die to self. You need to die to sin today and let him start to remold you and make you to the person that he wants you to be. Because you need changing and I need changing, and it's an ongoing process. I'm gonna ask another stupid question. And I hope you're not stupid enough to answer it, but I'll ask it. Is there anybody here that could say to me, "John, since I've become a Christian, it's been so wonderful that I've grown so much in God, I've arrived. I'm absolutely perfect. I couldn't do wrong if I tried. I am absolutely not only on the straight and narrow, but I look at God sometimes and say, 'God, aren't you pleased with me? Just look what I've turned out to be.'" Anybody here like that? I'm looking for the hands to go up. You could say to me, "No, because you know you've not arrived." I know I've not arrived. So I've been a Christian for all these years. I've been preaching for all these years. I'm still growing in God. I'm still learning from God. But listen, one thing I learned years and years ago when I was back in England and I was talking to a guy in our church, and he was an older man than me, and I respected him very much, but I'm talking about a little problem that he had to him. And he said to me, "It's all right, John, me and God have got an understanding about this." He said, "God knows I'm doing it, but it's okay, I've got an understanding with him." And I said, "You foolish man, God never agrees to sin. He never compromises when it comes to sin. He doesn't say, 'Oh, I can see your weakness. I love you, son. I can see your weakness. It's okay. Just carry on. I'll close my eyes to that.'" God never closes his eyes to sin, because Jesus Christ died for all of the sin in the world. He paid the penalty. He paid the price for sin. He was crucified for our sin. They shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him. We will not have this man to rule over us." What a sad thing they've said, because there's no other way of salvation than Jesus. You can't be saved by becoming another religious person. And if you become a religious Christian, you can't be saved. But you can be saved by one person, one only, Jesus Christ,
the Savior, the Son of the living God. So they said, crucify him. He had to die so the resurrection could come. And I say to you, well, I don't say it, the scriptures said. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Have you had your crucifixion? Have you had it? Paul was saying, I've died with Jesus. Talked in Romans 6 about water baptism, going into the grave, dying, literally dying to yourself so that you can live to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So it's one thing to praise him on Palm Sunday, but it's not just for then. You've got to praise him every day because you're saying to Jesus, I want you to change me. I'm not going to try to change you. Like this man that I told you about that said to me, and God's got an understanding. I thought, you silly man. No way have you got an understanding. What God wants to do with you and me is cleanse us from sin. I'll say that again. What God wants to do with you and me is cleanse us from sin. I'll say it again. What God wants to do with you and me is to cleanse us from sin. Now, you may be just like those people in the temple court who think, what's going on here? What's he doing? Why is he turning over the tables? Why is he so angry? Why has he got a whip? Why is he driving the people out? What is going on? I'll tell you what was going on. God was not tolerating sin. And God will not tolerate sin in you or me. If I fail and fall, I get convicted. And God says, clean up your act, John. Don't be so stupid. Get the washed in the blood again. Get cleansed. Don't accept it. Run with it. Walk with it. Talk with it. Get rid of it. Get crucified. Hallelujah. But they said the wrong thing, those people, when they said crucify him, because they didn't know he was going to die for them. They said, away with him. Crucify him. Crucify him. I don't say that. I say, thank you, Jesus, that you were crucified, but you did it for me. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to say away with you. I want to thank you and say, come on. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I need you. I need you more than I've ever needed you before. In closing, let me ask you this question. Are there areas in your life where you feel this change needed in me? You know, we're very good at looking what changes are needed in other people. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed? Pastors are very good at it because it's part of our job. We're pastors, see? But most of us can see what's wrong with other people, but we look in the mirror and we think, oh, look at that. But no, look in the mirror and see yourself as you are. And I'm talking about what's inside. Are there areas in your life that God's speaking to you about right now? Could be lust, could be addiction, could be unforgiveness, could be greed, could be selfishness. All these things will drag you down. Are there things in your life that you know you need to let God change? You need a cleansing in that area, a cleansing in the blood, and say, change me, Lord. Hosanna, save us. Hosanna, save me. Glory to God. Do you know everybody who's accepted Jesus as their Savior spiritually have said, Hosanna. Blessed is he that comes in the name of Hosanna, save us. And we are saved. Now, the Jews thought he was going to bring in a kingdom that would make the Jewish nation the greatest nation in the world. He didn't, but he did bring in a kingdom. And he did say to those disciples before he died, when you pray, say, my kingdom come, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, thy kingdom come. And I just want to say this, when Jesus died and rose from the dead, the kingdom came. You and I, if we are in Jesus, we're in the kingdom. Can I say that again? You and I, if we're in Jesus, we're in the kingdom. It's a kingdom that will be an eternal kingdom. It's a kingdom where we will rule and reign forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this kingdom's got nothing to do with worldly kingdoms. Got nothing to do with empires, no matter how big and large or great they are or how small they are. It's got nothing to do with worldly politics. Worldly politics will not bring in the kingdom of God. Amen. Not many amens there. Let me say it again. Worldly politics will not bring in the kingdom of God. Finance will not bring in the kingdom of God. Amen. The kingdom of God is here for those who want to receive it and accept it. Get born again, be filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's what Galatians tells us. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And of such, against such there is no law. Nobody has ever legislated against love, joy, peace. There's no law to say you can't. They've tried to bring laws out, but God's law is bigger and better. If he wants to give you love, joy, peace, guess what? You've got it. You can walk in it. You can live in it. It's yours. So, as I close now, are there things in your life that you think, yeah, there's still some changes to be done? There's still some changes to be made. Can I ask you on this Palm Sunday to be a candidate for change? Can you put your hand up and say, God, you've been speaking to me in that area. God, I know I got to change in that area. And I want to be a candidate for change. Listen, if that's you, and if that's me, and I say, God, I want to be a candidate for change, do you know what will happen? We'll change. Because he'll make sure we will. It won't be because of your own determination. It won't be because of your own willpower. It will be because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in us. The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit that cleanses us from all sin as the blood does. The Holy Spirit takes that blood, cleanses us, washes us, and he sanctifies us because he is the Holy Spirit. And you are supposed to be holy children. Didn't get an amen then, did I? But you are. So can I ask, I want to pray for people here who would say to me, John, that word has ministered to me on this Palm Sunday. I want to say, Hosanna. I want to say, save me, Lord. I am a Christian. I've received Jesus, but I've tended to fight a little bit. I've tended to step back a little bit. I don't pray how I used to pray. I don't read the Bible like I used to. I don't witness like I used to. I need to change. There's things that's taken over my life that it's a real battle. Like the Apostle Paul spoke about in Romans 7, the good I would, that do I not. But that which I hate, that do I. He spoke about a battle within himself. There's still sin that dwelleth in me. He says there's a battle going on. But then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the victory. Because there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his Son. He strengthens us by the power of the Spirit. So I'm going to pray for people here who feel God. I need to respond to that. And I'm going to become a candidate, Father, in your eyes for change. Not my eyes. It's not what I see. It's what God sees. I'm going to be a candidate for change in your eyes. Just so you just close your eyes now. Everybody, nobody looking around. If God's spoken to you and you want to be a candidate for change, you're prepared to say, God, continue to change me. Just raise your hand so I can see it. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Quite a lot of you. I'm going to pray for those folks. Is anybody else that would say, I want to be a candidate for change? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Father, you see the people with their hands raised now. And Father, I raise my hand as well. I want to remain a candidate for change. I've not arrived. We have not arrived. We love you. We're so glad we belong to you. We don't want to give you away, Lord, but we don't want to also be stubborn, and we don't want to be selfish. We want, Jesus, for you to keep on turning the furniture over if that's what you need. Come and redecorate us, Lord. Change us from within. Keep doing it. Don't stop. Every hand that was raised, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon them right now and just comfort them and strengthen them and use them for the glory of your name. Lord, we thank you for Palm Sunday. We thank you for what it means. We thank you, Lord, because this is when you came to Jerusalem knowing that Jesus, you was going to die so that you truly could become Hosanna, the Savior. We say, Jesus, don't give up on us. We know you won't. And help us not to give up on you, but continue to change us. And we will be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you.